Hey, good morning. It's good to see you this morning. I do not often get to wear my Generational Hope sweatshirt because my wife likes mine so much that she's always wearing it. And anytime I want to, I can't usually find it. But I'm glad that she gets to wear it. But it's so good to see you, man. Thank you, worship team Noah and Gladriel and everyone else. That was awesome. There's nothing like worshiping together. You know, I love to worship. I love to worship in my truck. But there's just something different about when we come together and we get to worship with one another corporately, right? There's something special about it. There's something unique about it. There's something that is just completes our Christian walk when we join together with others. You know, life would be so much more boring if we were just called to just do it with ourselves and the Lord, wouldn't it? And so I'm so grateful that we have the opportunity to come together and to worship God and lift up His name. And I don't know about you, but I'm encouraged this morning. You know, anytime you sing about the faithfulness of God, I can't help but get absolutely just jazzed. Because when I think about and I sing about His faithfulness, it reminds me that's who He is. Amen? And it takes me back to those moments where I needed a breakthrough, where I needed Him to show up. And every single time He has, because that's what He does and that's who He is. And so I'm just so excited. We are going to today take communion at the end of service, so that's going to be great. But I hope you've enjoyed the last Well, I hope you enjoy every Sunday, but I hope you've enjoyed the last 4 weeks if we've been talking in a series talking about our core convictions. And our core convictions are a church is how we think ministry is best going to work in and through the local church. And we've got these five convictions, and we're going to be going over those over the next several months. And the first one we talked about is we think ministry is going to work the best when we believe that we are loved by a Father. Okay, we are loved by a Father, Father God, right? And that's it. And everything we do has to filter through that truth, right? The way that we love others, the way that we love our kids, the way that we serve the Lord, the way that we even come to church, it comes through the mindset that He is a good Father. Amen? And so I hope you've enjoyed that. We're going to wrap it up today. And so let's pray and ask that the Lord would just speak to us and that we would be encouraged and just changed today in His presence. So, Father, I thank You this morning that we are loved by a Father. We are loved not just by any Father, but we are loved by a good Father who has our best intentions at the forefront of His mind. Father, I thank You for every person in this room today that You are not finished with their life, that You have a plan and a purpose for them. Father, I pray for every person that may be feeling discouraged this morning, that may be, as we sang that song, I believe You can do it again. Father, that may be needing You to just awaken those things inside of them. Father, today we come with ears to hear what our Father wants to say to us. Father, would You cleanse our mind? Would You open our eyes today as we get into Your word? Father, let me speak the word with conviction and passion today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I'm just going to dive right in. If you haven't been here, I'm going to give you the Cliff Note version. We've been talking a lot about God as a Father. And I think one of the first things that humans have a hard time with is when we think about God being a Father, immediately our mind goes to our example of what our natural father was like. Okay? And that could be very good for some of us, or that could be very bad for some of us, depending on how our experience with our natural father went. And unfortunately, it's like a filter. And we think just because we were treated poorly, maybe by your natural father, we think that's how Father God is. And it is so far from the truth, it's not even funny, right? That God is a good Father, and at the very core of who He is, has your very best intentions on His mind. When we say we are loved by a Father, we are loved by a personal Father, a Father that wants to get to know His children, that created us for relationship, The whole point of God creating us for relationship means that he wants to have relationship with us and wants us to have relationships with others. So he's a loving father who is going to believe in us and who has our best interests in mind. The second thing we talked about the last 4 weeks is that his love is given. Period. Okay, a lot of people, if you've been in church or you've seen different people, a lot of people do a lot of crazy things in the name of love. Amen? I mean, I've probably done some crazy things in the name of love and thought, what was I doing? But God's love is given, period. It's given without conditions. God didn't give me his love when I was on my best day. He gave me his love when the Bible says I was an enemy of God because of my sin. And he showed his love for me at that moment. He didn't wait until I was like halfway cleaned up and, you know, having a good day and in a good groove where he said, okay, now I'm going to love you. I'm going to love you, Justin, when you're by nature an enemy of me, an enemy of God. It's given without conditions. That means there's nothing I can do to earn his love. There's nothing I can do to deserve his love. Anything that I do for the Lord is not to gain approval. It is out of relationship and out of love and passion for who he is, not, well, if I just do this, then he might love me a little bit more. Okay, and we as humans in our flesh, because we feel like we have to earn love, approach God many times saying, well, maybe if I do this or do that, then God's going to love me more. And we've been renewed over the last 4 weeks to say God loves you just because he does, because he's a good father. And anything we do for him is just out of relationship that we have with him. Okay, we don't deserve his love, but it's ours. Hallelujah. Last week, Pastor Ryan talked about the gift of Jesus. And because the gift of Jesus, that you and I have been given a new nature. Okay, when we open our hearts to Jesus, he fills us with new desires. He fills us with a whole different DNA code, as Pastor Ryan said last week. It's not just behavior modification, but he gives us a new nature. And there's a big difference, isn't there, between behavior modification and being a new creature in Christ, as it says in 2 Corinthians. So he talked a lot about that last week, and it was phenomenal. If you weren't here, get the message. It was so good. But part of this new nature, it's totally different than our flesh nature. Completely different. It's not just, like I said earlier, it's not just, oh, a few tweaks. We're completely new species. And our new nature in Christ changes everything about us. So think about that. What's everything about us? Well, when we come to the Lord and we say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins, come into my heart, I want to live a new life, he fills us with his Spirit. Okay, and it's from that moment that we begin the sanctification process, which is the process of becoming more and more like him. So when we get this new nature, it changes everything. It changes how we view God. Because a lot of people have a lot of crazy ideas of who they think God is, right? Have you heard those ideas? Have you thought those ideas? I've heard them from people that said, man, I can't come in. It's funny, this comment. It's probably been made to me about 6 times when people find out I'm a pastor and they say, you don't want me to come to your church because if I come through the doors, your building's going to fall down. Because their life is so, they think it's so bad and their sin is so great that if they come into this place, it's like fire's going to just strike it and we're all going to be with Jesus right now. I can't tell, oh, you don't want people like me because I've done a lot of bad things. And my answer is, well, but you need to understand who our God is. Because their view of God is this big guy that's got a spanking spoon, you know, huge that's ready just to absolutely lay you out, and they don't have the understanding and revelation that he is a father that wants relationship with them and wants to give them a hope and a future. So in our new nature, God wants to change how we think about him. That he is not just a big guy in the sky ready to, you know, throw fire down on us, but he's a loving father. Our new nature in Christ wants to change how we view ourselves. That you are not just a speck on this earth, but you were created in the image of God. And you were created for his glory and for his purpose. How many of you know when you come alive to the purposes that God has for your life, everything changes? When you are just realize, I wasn't created to eat, breathe, and die, but you were created, as Allison said, with a plan, with a purpose, with a unique calling that is a game changer in your life. And God wants us to renew not just our minds of how we think about God, but how do we think about ourselves? Because in Psalms 139, the Bible says that you and I are fearfully and wonderfully made. Okay, that's truth. But a lot of people believe the lie that they are not wonderful, not unique, that they were a mistake, that they were an accident, that they were all these other things, when the Bible says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. The new nature in Christ causes us to see others differently. Not only see others differently, but love others differently. Because there are certain things in our old nature that when we look at people causes us to judge, doesn't it? In my flesh, I look at people and I say, you're going to, you know, I think these crazy things that God doesn't think about them. So our new nature, God doesn't want to just, with our new nature, see me differently, see yourself differently. He wants us to see others differently in this new nature. So we got to understand that his giving us a new nature with new and right desires changes how we do life as we know it on this earth. Okay, that's just our recap. If you haven't been here, there you go. You're caught up. Turn in your Bibles to 1 John 4, 7, and 8. Today we want to talk about the agape love of God being released to others. Okay, we want to talk about the release point today. So in your Bible, in 1 John, it says this, and this is a popular verse of Scripture, but it says, Beloved, okay, and this is John talking to the New Testament church. It says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Okay, we agree with that. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Okay, he is. He's not just loving. At the very core of God, his character trait, his attribute is that he is love. Again, I think it's so important that today that we really understand this, because as I said earlier, you and I have seen a lot of crazy things done in the name of love. I've seen some pretty awesome things done in the name of love. I've seen some pretty crazy things done in the name of love. And I've also seen some pretty weird things done in the name of love. Okay, and so I think if we don't define what God's love looks like, we're going to have a hard time deciphering what is true love and what is false love because of how many expressions we see of love that go on every day in our society. So we've got to understand that God's love is the type of love that we're called to walk in, not whatever man has done to dumb it down or confuse that love. But God, at the nature of who he is love. Okay, here's my main point this morning that we're going to just camp around. That our encounter with God's agape love is the only thing that fills us with the capacity to love others in the same way. Okay, I'm going to say it again, and I think I have it on my PowerPoint.
Our encounter with God's agape love is the only thing that fills us with the capacity to love others in the same way.
Okay, if you read your Bible and talk about the different types of love, one of the types of love is agape. Pastor Ryan talked about it a few weeks ago. And agape love is describing the unconditional love and goodwill of God towards creation. So agape love is God's love. Agape love is not human, you know, man's love or human contrived love. Agape love was designated for God's love. Okay, and when we look at agape love, and I said it a couple weeks ago, but agape love, when it's expressed, when agape love is put into action, it means to have the highest good in those whom that love is directed towards. So when we see agape love put into action, it's for that person's highest good. So agape comes to us so that God's agape love can flow out of our life through us and to others. So it's important this morning that we look at this, because there is nothing else we can do to get the message across to people about God's love until we possess it in our own life and until we own it for ourselves. Okay, a few things about God's agape love. Number one, us walking in God's agape love is the byproduct of the Spirit's dwelling in your life. Okay, remember our scripture in 1 John. Okay, when it talks about love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God. Being born of God, God's agape love is a byproduct of your new birth that you have in Christ. Okay, when you open your hearts to the Lord and you pray that prayer that we all prayed that said, I'm in need of a Savior, I'm a sinner. God, come into my life, be my Lord, forgive me of my sins, I want to live for you, right? Whatever variation you prayed. When you pray that prayer and by faith accept Jesus as your Savior, something happens on the inside of your heart and your spirit man. Something, I can't explain it, I can't define it, but something happens when you say yes to the Lord and you at that moment begin to start to change. One of the greatest joys I've had as a parent is this year leading my 8-year-old son to the Lord. It was like the coolest thing that I've ever been a part of. I got to sit and see him make that decision to follow Christ. And here's the deal about my 8-year-old son and probably your 8-year-old son is, and the deal about my life and your life is, when you pray that prayer, that is the starting point. Yeah. That is the beginning of the process. But how many of you know, along my journey with the Lord, I still make a mistake or mistakes, tons of them. And just like with my sons, but I go back to remember what you did when you asked Jesus into your heart. Remember that you wanted to be led by his Spirit. Remember that you're not being led by your flesh any longer, but you are being led by your Spirit, the Spirit of God. But again, even for me, I have to be reminded sometimes when I'm sitting in traffic or doing whatever I'm doing or coaching baseball and I want to lash out in my flesh, I have to remember, oh, wait, that is not my spirit nature. That is my flesh. And I have to be reminded that I'm not going to be controlled by my flesh anymore. So us walking in the love of God, it's a byproduct of the Spirit's dwelling in your life. So when you open your heart to the Lord, you're opening yourself and you're now more aware of the things of God. You're more aware of the sin in your life. Because God's love, when you open your heart to him, you're going to be filled with that agape love. It's a byproduct of accepting Jesus in your heart. Number two, agape love grows out of your deepening relationship with Christ. Okay, 1 John says, being born of God and knowing him. Okay, knowing him speaks of what? It speaks of relationship. Knowing him speaks of intimacy. Knowing him speaks of you know, this process. It's not just a prayer that you prayed once when you were 8 to accept Jesus, but knowing him speaks of relationship, speaks of time, speaks of all those things. It speaks of intimacy. So we're filled with his love, but as we walk with him, his love in us grows. And his love gets some weight behind it. You know what I'm saying, weight? I'm saying some meaning behind it. I was thinking about it this week, and one of my just favorite things to do is sometimes I get a walk with couples as they're getting ready to get married. It's like so awesome. I love marriage. I believe God has intended marriage to be good. God has intended marriages to be the glue for the church. I believe that with my whole heart. One of the coolest lessons that I've ever done with marriage is talking about the different seasons of marriage. And my wife and I this week celebrated 13 years of marriage. That's pretty cool. Like, not as cool. I saw that, you know, some of you this week, I think it was John and Mary Gare, 50 years of marriage. I mean, 13 and 50, you know. But we're on our way. I'm not even 50 yet, but we're on our way, so that's awesome. Congratulations. But I was thinking about, you know, on our anniversary and, you know, looking at the pictures or whatever that weren't digital pictures, but they're like in a book thing, and they had film and all that. And I was thinking about those words that I said to my wife years ago, and many of you said the same thing. You said, I love you with my whole heart. And I really meant it. 13 years ago, just like many of you did. But I didn't have much like weight or meaning behind those things other than it was passion and passion, right? It was just like, man, I'm so excited to spend my life with you and start this new chapter, and I love you. But my love was a little, you know, full, just it was full and passion. There wasn't a lot that quantified my love for her besides passion, because we hadn't started a life together yet. And so today, we got married. I told her I loved her. I meant it. It was a lot of passion. But today, when I tell my wife I love her, it's still filled with a lot of passion, probably more passion than back then. But there is 13 years worth of experience, of life, of late night talking areas of our marriage out when she wanted to maybe, like, you know, not be there talking about those things because I've ticked her off so much, right? And I say I love you because I have been through a lot of things with my wife that now there is a depth to our love that wasn't there 13 years ago. Okay. Again, my love, I still loved her. It wasn't like, well, you know, I love you more now. No, I loved her the same, but there's meaning to that love today. Because of relationship, because of agreement, because of intimacy, because of even things that I didn't want to walk through. Hard life lessons that we've had to learn through the good, the bad, and the ugly of life, because sometimes life throws you curveballs. And you have to walk through those things. But those things that have meant to wreck us have now caused a depth of our love that those lessons are invaluable to our marriage now. Okay, 4 kids later, right? When I say I love you, there's a lot of meaning. Okay, there's a lot of depth that has grown. It's the same with the Lord. As we grow in relationship with him, yeah, I loved the Lord when I was newly saved because I wasn't going to hell anymore, but I love him even more now. Again, not because I love him more, but because that love has meaning because I've experienced his faithfulness. I've experienced his goodness. It wasn't just, I love you, Lord. I mean, one of my favorite things to do is to walk with people who just are getting saved because they love the Lord with their whole heart, but they're still so new to everything. I was with someone just this week, just gave their hearts to the Lord and said, man, I just love what God is doing in my bleeping life. And I'm thinking, right on. Not because he swore. They don't know any better. They said, man, I'm different. But again, that process has to be worked out in their life. Right? But I thought, you know what? Good for them. They don't know. But they are just passionate. And I believe as they walk with the Lord that their everything is going to change. Their behavior, their talking, all that. But the passion was there. It grows out of our deepening relationship with Christ. The third thing I want to talk about this morning is anytime we try to define God's love, we end up limiting God's love. For some reason, as humans, we like to define everything. We have to. We want to define it so we know what the boundaries look like. Okay, it has to be defined in order for us to understand it. But there's a difference between definition and understanding. Because you can define something all day long, but if there's no understanding to that definition, you're probably going to miss the heart of that definition. So when we try to define God's love, we're going to end up limiting his love. If you look back through the Old and New Testament, understanding God's love has always been somewhat of a mystery. Okay, think about it. Read back. Think back over your Bible. But understanding God's love is paramount to the whole gospel. If you don't understand God's love, you're going to have a skewed view of the gospel. Everything's going to be off if you don't understand God's love. I think it's important that the church not only just defines it, but understands it because of the power that exists in the discovery of God's love. Because God's love is the answer for those who are seeking. But I believe if it's so powerful and so important, I think there's nothing more that the enemy of our soul wants to do more than confuse and bring confusion around the subject of God's love. Right? Either dumb it down, confuse it, make it too complicated so people can't understand God's love and start debating over It's so important that we get it because of the potential life-changing power that exists when someone captures God's love. In Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 18, turn in your Bibles there, but Paul's talking to the New Testament church about God's love and the importance of it, and I don't think it's lost its importance some 2,000 years later. But it says this, "For this reason I bow my knee before the Father, whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love," okay, those are two key words, rooted and grounded in love, "may have strength to comprehend," remember, comprehend is understand, "that you may have strength to understand with the church, all the saints, what is the width, the length, and the height, and the depth of his love." So this is Paul, and he's saying, I'm praying that you would get how important it is. It's that you are not just get it, but you are rooted in it and that you're grounded in it, meaning that everything can be built off that foundation. That you may have strength to comprehend. Well, why do we need strength to understand something? Because I think there's a big battle over God's love. I think because there's a lot of confusion over God's love. Right, so he says you need to have strength to understand it because there's going to be a lot of variations that are trying to wreck it, that are trying to derail your thinking about God's love. So you need to have strength to understand it because he doesn't fill us with a dumbed down human version of God's love, right? It is pure. I think one of the, the craziest things I was thinking about this week, the market over merchandise in America. Okay, you got like designer sunglasses. I don't have one, but designer purses or designer man bags, right? But the people pay top dollar. I say people. people with the same last name as me love to have the designer, right? The Oakleys or the, I don't even know, but there's knockoffs, right? There's knockoffs. I don't need the Oakleys. I'm good with the Folkleys, right? The fake Oakleys, right? Because they look like the Oakleys. They're cheaper than the Oakleys. When you drop them off a boat, you just go get another pair of Folkleys. But again, it's not the real thing, right? And I think with God's love, we need to be careful that we're not offering a variation of God's love that's dumbed down, that's got a little bit of humanness to it, because God's love is so important, and God's love is so indescribable and so powerful to the health of the church. Because there is nothing like God's love. You've never been loved before like that of God's love. There is not one, any word we use to describe God's love falls short. I haven't found a word yet. The closest word I can find is it's indescribable. Because me saying it's good, well, it's better than good. Me saying it's great, well, it's a different level of greatness. Me saying it's, I can't find a word that describes God's love and that does his love justice for what it's worth. Doesn't even come close. But it's a love that keeps us grounded, that keeps us rooted in what everything in our life is built upon. Number four. I've learned this over the years, that things that are beyond our imagination have to be experienced in order to be realized. Think about it. 100 years ago, people said, you can't fly something in the sky unless you're a bird. Think about cars, submarines. 100 years ago, people would say, or 150 if my math's off, history buff, sorry, right? Whatever it is. But before it existed, people said it was impossible. Oh, you can't fly. Oh, you can't go 100 feet under the ocean in a submarine. You'll get crushed. And now they're talking about someday there's going to be cars that drive themselves. Oh, that'll never happen. Uber's got them. I did hear one crash the other day, but that's a different story. Flying cars? My son was telling me, Dad, they're going to have flying cars in the next 10 years. No. But until we experience it, right, we can't believe it. Okay, things beyond our imagination have to be experienced. Okay, his love is so extravagant, so awesome, so mind-blowing, you can't even explain it. But it causes me to stand in awe of him. But I can't explain it. I can't define it. But I'm in awe of it. Our revelation of God's love in our own heart and life is the fuel for seeing others capture that same love. Again, until you experience God's love, all of your efforts to define it come short. Ephesians, if we go keep going in our scripture, Ephesians 3, verse 19, Paul, he says, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Okay? When you're filled with his love, you're filled with his fullness. The Amplified Version, I think, says it best. It says this, the same verse, that you may really come to know. No, that you really may get it. Practically, like not just, oh, that sounds good, but that you really get it. That is really something that you add to your life, that you will notice, that you'll be affected by through experience for yourself, the love of Christ. Paul is saying, hey, you need to experience it practically for yourself, which far surpasses mere knowledge, okay, dumbs down knowledge, without experience, meaning it's not just streets or it's not just book smarts. It's knowing it. It's experiencing it. That you may be filled, and he adds, through all your being, meaning it flows through every aspect of you into the fullness of God, that you may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body fully filled and flooded with God himself. It's a love that you have to experience. Otherwise, you won't get it. You have to experience. We don't come to participate and just observe church. We come to engage ourselves in the love of God. The second to last thing I want to talk about today when talking about God's love is you cannot give what you don't have. You can't give what you don't have. If you read in the scriptures in Acts 3, I was reminded of this a few weeks ago, and I want to read it, Acts 3, verses 2 through 8. But some of, I believe it's Peter and John, are walking the streets, and they come across a man, and we'll pick it up in verse 2, who was lame from birth. He had a birth defect, right? He had to be dragged there, so he probably couldn't walk. He was being carried to the gate that was called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg, going into the temple courts as people went. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him as John did. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. He said, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles had become strong. He jumped to his feet, began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. So here we have a man that had a need, and that he didn't even know what he needed. He knew what he thought he wanted, but what he wanted is not what he needed. So he asked these men for what he thought he wanted, and they couldn't give it to him because they didn't have it. But what they did have is really what the man needed. Right? They didn't have the money to give him, but they had the answer that would heal him of his disease. They gave out of what they had. Again, those people who don't know Jesus and haven't experienced the agape love of God, sometimes they don't even know what they need. You talk to people out in the world that are lost, they don't come up to you and say, "I need to know the agape love of God." They don't know that, but they know that they feel incomplete. They know that they're missing something in life. They don't know it's the love of a father that's good. No, that's foreign to them. But they know that every day they wake up and they feel empty, and they try to fill that hole with other things, and it doesn't work. But you and I have what they need. We have it. And we're called to give it. The last thing I want to talk about is releasing agape love to others beckons you to see through the eyes of agape. Okay, releasing that love to others beckons you to see them with God's love. I was reminded of the Apostle Paul's salvation experience this week. If you don't know, it's in Acts 9. And the Apostle Paul, before he was Paul, his name was Saul, and he was the chief persecutor of Christians. Okay, he persecuted them, killed them, did all sorts of things to them. And he was on his way to Damascus to persecute Christians. He went to the courts. Pretty much he had the authority by the government to kill anyone that was a Christian. He was like, you know, a deputy of the government, that if there was someone professing Jesus, he could kill them. And so he was on his way to do that, and he had an experience with God. Some people say he fell off a donkey, but he fell to the ground and he was blinded for 3 days. Again, the guy who didn't believe there was a God, who was persecuting Christians, has an experience for 3 days. That's not very long, people, to have a heart change, is it? Right? In the day and age we live in, someone needs to go through a 2-year program or a 3-year program or, you know, 10 steps to this or 20 steps. Those are all fine things. But this guy had 3 days 100% change, has a divine miracle. This guy comes and finds him, he prays for him, receives his sight back, and scales fell off of his eyes, and everything was different. And then it says, on day 4, he's now out preaching the gospel. So 4 days ago, he was going to kill the Christians. Now he's one of them. And you know what? The mature Christians had a hard time with that. Because they said, wasn't this the same guy that was killing Christians 3 days ago? They had a hard time. I'm sure some of them thought, well, he needs to kind of like, you know, have a season of consistency before he can preach the gospel. Because, you know, he was just killing Christians. So he needs to kind of, you know, have a year, figure it out, and then he can preach. But agape love, and through Barnabas, that Barnabas said, hey, let this man preach. Hey, let this man testify. Releasing agape love to others beckons us to see others not through their past, but through the eyes of agape love. Through the eyes of agape love. Worship team, you can come up. I want to say this as we transfer to communion. But a religious form of love will always want to view and treat people by who they were or what they've done. When agape love sees people as who they are through the eyes of God. But religion always wants to view people through their past, through what they've done. But God wants us to have eyes of agape. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask the men that would start passing out communion. What a cool opportunity as we get to take communion together. And communion is us remembering what Jesus did. But I don't think it's any accident that we would celebrate it today on this day that we're wrapping up a series on God's love. Yeah, thank you guys for helping. We're going to pass that out. But I think today we take communion as a response to the last 4 weeks that we've talked about, as a response to discovering His love as a Father. Because God loves us with His whole heart, but He wants us to see others through those eyes of love. He wants us to release that agape love, because without releasing God's love, it's just going to stay within me. Okay, there's no point to it if there's no release into others' lives. So we take communion today as part of our response. You know, you read about when Jesus broke bread with the disciples. And the emphasis was on that Jesus, this is going to be His last time with His disciples. The guys that He spent, what, like 3 years with, give or take? And He's telling them, hey, I'm going to leave you in a minute. And I'm here right now, but my body's going to be broken for you. And my blood's going to be poured out for you. So remember that. And take of the cup and remember my sacrifice. Okay, that's all pretty standard that we talk about. But we got to understand that just in a couple of hours, Jesus was going to be betrayed by those same guys that sat around the table. Okay, Jesus was going to be denied by those same guys. In a few hours, He was going to be arrested, tortured. And His answer was still, I want to break bread with you. His answer was still, remember my agape love. His answer was still, I know you're going to betray me, but remember those times we shared together. Remember the power of my love. He knew He was going to be betrayed, but He still chose to include them in the plans of His kingdom. That's a pretty powerful picture.
You know, probably my take on it, again, this isn't in the Bible, but my take is he probably said something like, remember how I met with the lady at the well that didn't deserve my love? Remember how I rescued the gal that was going to get stoned because of her sin? Remember that I loved her. Keep doing that, right? Keep that going when I'm gone. Don't forget to love one another. Remember the people that we encountered that didn't have any hope, that were diseased. Remember those people when my love met them. Thank you. Would you stand with me? But today, we not only remember his sacrifice, but would we be renewed to the commitment to walk in his agape love with one another? Would we be renewed today to remember that he's a father that has our best interests at mind? Not just remember his body that was broken, but remember the message that he came preaching, the love of his father. So I believe Jesus met with the disciples after saying all those things. He took the bread and he said, hey, this is my body that's broken because I have your highest good in mind. Because of my broken body, you can have a new life. Let's take that today in remembrance of what he did on the cross. Let's take. And then he took the cup after the bread. And he said, hey, this is my blood that was spilled out. Not just for a ticket to heaven, Allison, but his blood that was poured out so that we can walk in abundance. His blood that was poured out so that we can release agape. Let's partake and remember that precious blood today. Come on, let's thank him. Let's say, Jesus, thank you for your love. Father, thank you for your blood. Thank you for your body. Thank you for the example that you left for us to walk and to release the love of God. Father, I pray over every heart here today, Father, that we would have just a new, fresh revelation of your love, Father, and that you would continue to change our heart and to change our mind, that we would be more close to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. Come on, let's sing and let's just begin to worship him. Noah, lead us.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of self? Do you thirst for drink from the well? Jesus is calling.
Oh, come to.
Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. There's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior! Isn't He one? Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Bow down. Bow down. Oh, and bow down before Him. For He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah. Come to, oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Today there's an invitation to come to that altar, whether that's coming to it for the 100th time or this morning if you don't know Jesus. If you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart and be, to fill you with that love, to forgive you of your sins this morning, come. We invite you. It's simple. It's just inviting Him to come into your heart, to confessing the sin that's in your heart and saying, God, would You be Lord of my life? And I don't ever want an opportunity to go by where we don't say, today's the day of salvation. So if you don't know Jesus, I want to encourage you in your own heart to invite Him to come in and be your God and be your Lord. And I think for all of us, the invitation is, would you participate in His agape love, of owning it for yourself, of experiencing it, and then out of that, that you would release it to others. Amen. Amen. Well, if you're new, again, we welcome you. We're glad you're here with us. We'd love to get to know you, but at this point, you are released to go, and we're going to have our connected class in about 15 minutes downstairs. God bless you, but let's go in His love. Amen? You're released.